Take your Bibles, please, and go to Philippians chapter 4, if you will, please. Philippians 4. It's good to come back here and speak to you all again. And I want to bring a message on Philippians chapter 4. And I'm doing something a little different this morning, and I feel led the Lord to do so. I have been going around America preaching and serving my Lord for all these years. And it's a wonderful thing to see how God directs your life. Now, look, young man or young lady, you are no different than me. Although I'm an evangelist, you are as equal of importance to God as I am. Acts 10:34 says, God is no respecter of persons. And God could bless and direct your life as He can my life. And I want to show you some things today that happened in my walk with my Lord. But I hope it will be nothing but a means of encouragement to you. We are one of the outstanding characteristics of a man of God is he is to edify the body of believers. And we are here to edify you. It's all about the Lord today. What I'm telling you is all about Him. There's a great man of God who's now in heaven. A very outstanding man of God. A man that I highly loved and respected. And he made the statements. Whenever God answers my prayer, I will brag on my Lord. And that's what I want to do today. I want to magnify my Lord. I want to show you what He could do in our lives. So would you all look at Philippians 4 and verse 6, please. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Our dear Father, today we ask that you would take this time, that everything's laid aside and our minds and our heart are stayed upon the Word of God. And Lord, may you encourage these young people and the adults as well by the authority of the blessed truth of what you could do through the power of prayer. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Many years ago, when I was your age, when I was in college, a sophomore, by the way, I felt led to go to Denver, Colorado, and work out there. The problem was I had no ride. I just was going to do the step out there and see God use me. And it's too long to explain to you all, okay? But one day in my dormitory room, I'm on my knees praying. And I said, Dear Lord, if you want me to go out to Denver, Colorado, then Lord, you supply the ride for me to get out there. And look here, young people, while I'm on my knees praying, there's a knock on my door. I literally had to stop praying, got off my knees, opened the door, and a man said, Are you Jerry Savinsky? I said, Yes, I am. He said, Listen, you don't know me. But I'm going to Denver, Colorado, and I got a place in my car for one more person. Would you like to go along? I said, Well, I was on my knees praying as you knocked on the door. Yes, I'll go with you. And so the Lord gave me a ride to Denver, Colorado. However, when I got there, I had no place to stay. And so that Sunday, I went to a church called Beth Eden Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado. And the very first Sunday, as they were introducing the different guests who were there, and I was one of them, at the close of that service, a young married couple walked up to me and said, Are you planning on staying out here all summer? I said, Yes, I am. He said, Well, my wife and I are going on a 3-month vacation. We've been praying about having someone stay in our home. And would you stay in our home if we're going to charge you $7 a month for rent? I said, Yes, I think I can handle that. And so the Lord gave me this beautiful home for $7 a month. And then I met another young man, a Christian young man, who was in college as well. And he walked up to me and said, Brother Jerry, I understand you're staying in a home. He said, I'd be willing to stay with you and pay half of the rents. I said, You've got a deal. And so I paid $3.50 a month for this beautiful home. Well, I had the ride. I had the home, but I had no job. And so Ralph and I, were going in different directions. We were praying, looking for a job. And one night, Ralph came home. He said, "I've got a job." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yes. I'm going to work at a construction company tomorrow morning." I said, "Well, I'm going to go to work with you." He said, "Have they hired you too?" I said, "No, but they're going to." He said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah, I'm serious." I prayed a great deal that night, young people. The next morning I got up. I put on my working clothes, packed my lunch, got in the car. I prayed all the way to the job site. When I got there, I got out of the car. I walked up to the boss. And I'll never forget, the man looked at me with a kind of a strong, deep voice. And he said, "Who are you?" I said, "Sir, I'm Jerry Savinsky." He said, "What do you want?" I said, "Sir, I want a job." And the man stared at me, and I stared right back at him. And all of a sudden he said, "All right, young man, you're hired." You know something, young man, as a college student, that stirred my life. That motivated me to see God do that. And then when I went back to school, I knew God called me to be an evangelist as a freshman. But I knew I needed to have a wife. And so I began to pray specifically. Now, this is Jerry Savinsky. It may not be you, my friend. This is how I prayed. I said, "Lord, I want a wife who can sing, that can be a part of my ministry. And Lord, I'd love to have a wife whose name is Sharon." Look at me. You say, "Are you serious?" I'm serious. So one day I'm in church services and I see this lovely young lady singing up there. And I turned my friend beside me. I said, "Hey, who's that girl up there?" And he said, "Her name is Sharon Ely." I said, "Where can I find where she lives?" He said, "Well, go down and you can find where all the girls live." And so I go down there. I found her room, and then I wrote a note. It took me 45 minutes. It was half the size of that, but I wanted every word to be right, you know. And so I asked her to go to the artist series, and she accepted. She's my wife. Psalm 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And what a godly, wonderful wife I have. Well, here, we are now in evangelism. I only have 6 meetings my first year. Only 6 meetings. The road in front of my house, I call it, it's not the name, I call it the Hallelujah Trail. Because what I would do on these 6 meetings, I'd go down the road praying out loud, crying out to God, "Lord, send meetings in. Oh, Father, send meetings in." And I'm walking back to the house, and I'm about 200 yards away, and my wife is just waving like this for me to run. There's someone on the phone. And how I saw God began to flood us with meetings as we began to see God's face in prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And so God began in our ministry to supply all these meetings. And then our vehicle, our truck, was literally falling apart. I mean, we're putting the thing together with Band-Aids. And so we began to pray for a truck. And so we're going down to the Bill Rice Ranch, where Brother Doyle had labored for many years. And Brother Doyle and I preached together for 16 years at the Bill Rice Ranch. And so we're going down the road to the Bill Rice Ranch. We're pulling this old truck. And I said to my children, I had my 3 boys and my daughter, I said, "We are going to claim Philippians 4:6 for God to provide us with a new truck." And look at me, young people. Nobody knew about that truck and our prayer for the truck. We told no one, just our family. And so we quoted Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so we finished quoting the verse. I said to my family, I said, we're praying that this coming fall, the Lord will provide us with a new truck. Well, my youngest son, Scott, spoke up, 12 years of age. He said, Dad, hey, Dad. I said, yes, Scott, what is it, son? He said, Dad, do you know what God could do? I said, Scott, what can God do? He said, Dad, God could provide that truck next week. He could do that, Dad. I said, yes, Scott, I know He could do that, but we're praying for this coming fall. Scott said that on July the 2nd. 3 days later, July the 5th, unknown to us, four godly businessmen up in the state of Indiana saw the condition of our truck, and unknown to us, they bought a brand new truck. They took the doors off of the Bill Rice Ranch. They pulled that truck in there that night. And I'll tell you, what a scene it was in my home as I saw God do something in the lives of my three boys and my daughter as they, after that night, they were up to 11, 12 o'clock walking back and forth in the trailer and screaming at the top of their lungs, don't tell me God does not answer prayer. I'm telling you what, young people, it's stirring to see what God can do, how God can meet the needs of our life. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And He does hear us, congregation. He does hear us, as 1 John 5 and verse 14 declares. But then, as we're traveling in evangelism, many years ago, I was praying for, I had three boys, you know, and that's a lot of salt in the house. We needed a lump of sugar. And so I began to pray. I began to pray for a girl. And so I'm praying for a girl. And so I took my wife to the hospital. She was ready to deliver the baby. And back then, you did not know what was going to be. There's none of that stuff they do today. And so 1 o'clock in the morning, I poured a hand towel out of the men's bathroom. And I wrote this poem. 1 o'clock in the morning. For this child I prayed were the words of Hannah to the God of grace with handfuls of manna. 5:30 in the morning, a nurse comes walking to me and said, Mrs. Savinsky, you have a girl. I about turned Pentecostal. I did, oh, I tell you. And what a joy she's been to our home. But you know, my wife, shortly after that, my wife, I stood in the doctor's office, and the doctor said, I believe your wife has cancer. I'm positive your wife has cancer. Well, I had to go to meetings in Gladwin, Michigan. I'm seeking God's face. I'm praying. I open my Bible, and I'm telling you, young people, how God directs in these moments when you're going through a great trial. My Bible fell open to Psalm 103 in verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I said, that's it. She does not have cancer. I went to sleep just like that. The next morning, I called my wife. My wife said, Jerry, the report came back. It's benign. The cancer's benign. Well, to see God do that, what's a powerful thing in my life. However, we needed to have a teacher traveling with us. And so, I told my wife, I said, honey, there's a young lady we met several years ago named Joyce Odens who teaches at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. And I know Brother Don Scoville knows who I'm talking about. And although I had not seen this girl for several years, I had a lot of respect because she was an outstanding pianist. and comes from a godly family. And so that night, I said, tomorrow, to my wife, tomorrow I'm going to call and see if she would even consider traveling and teaching our children. Well, unknown to me, that night, or that day, Joyce Odens was talking to the entire music faculty about evangelists. And she said to these music people up there, you know, the only evangelist that I would ever want to travel with would be Jerry and Sharon Savinsky. Well, that night, as she went to bed, she got down on her knees and she prayed this prayer. Dear Lord, if you would have me travel with Jerry Savinsky and his wife Sharon, then you have Brother Savinsky call me tomorrow. Well, the next morning, I make a long-distance phone call up to Minnesota. I called Joyce. I said, hello, Joyce. This is Jerry Savinsky. And dead silence on the phone. I said, Joyce, are you there? She said, yes. I said, Joyce, the reason I'm calling you, my wife and I would like to know, would you consider traveling and teaching our children? She said, yes. She said, give the testimony of how definite God led in that whole area. And it was the definite leading of the Lord. Oh, you know something, young people? Regardless of how big these needs may be in your life, or regardless of how small they may be in your life, there's a God who's concerned about every need. That's why you are to not be careful about anything, but in everything. Now look, one day I went to a store. I went through seven stores looking for a nutcracker. You know, one of those things that got the two arms like it, and you put the nut in there and you squeeze it. Well, I go to seven different stores. I can't find a nutcracker. And I got so upset, I said, I'm going to pray about this. And so I said, Lord, I need a nutcracker. And Lord, I want you to provide me with a nutcracker. Well, the next morning I was running. By the way, I've been running for 34 years now. I was running 5 miles. I had a 2.5 mile out and 2.5 miles back. And so I took off running. And when I got at my 2.5 mile turn, I turned around, I looked down in the middle of the road, and there on that blacktop road was a little nutcracker. And I picked that thing up. And I ran home so fast, when I got home, I had to pour water on my tennis shoes. Not really, but... And I'll never forget holding that and saying, Sharon, look what God did for us. Who hath despised the day of small things, Zechariah 4 and verse 10 says. Oh, I tell you, what a great God He is. You know, in the spiritual realm, it's good to see God meet physical needs. But I'll tell you what's greater is when you see God do that in the spiritual, your spiritual needs. I was preaching a revival meeting in the state of Kentucky. And it was a pretty large church. And that Sunday, they had a big push. And I knew there were a lot of unsaved people there. And I rarely pray this like this what I prayed that morning. But I felt prompted of the Lord to pray for this. Look at me, young men. I'm going to tell you something. And you're preaching. You got to remember something. 1 Corinthians 3:7, God that giveth the increase. You cannot produce. God has to give the increase. But you can pray for God to work. And so that morning I prayed this prayer. I looked out on that vast congregation. I said, Lord, it'd be wonderful to see 25 adults and teenagers come to Christ. Now, look, God prompted me to pray specifically for 25 adults and teenagers. When I gave the invitation, at the close of the service, pastor came to me and said, Brother Jerry, there were 25 adults and teenagers saved in this invitation. How that thrilled my heart. Minutes ago, I'm preaching down at the Bear Rice Ranch with a man of God named Dr. Paul Levine. And many of you know who Dr. Paul Levine was. He was a godly man, is now in heaven. That night I was preaching, and I gave the invitation, and there was a tremendous response. And at the close of the meeting, we had a meal. A bunch of us got together with our license. We had a wonderful time of fellowship. And Dr. Paul Levine said that a person who gathers all the cards together of the results, he said out loud, he said, "Brother, I want to ask you a question." And the man said, "Yes, sir, what is that, Dr. Levine?" He said, "How many decisions were there tonight?" And the man said, 153 decisions. And Dr. Paul Levine said, "I want you people to realize something. Before the meeting, I was reading John chapter 21, verse 11. When they pulled the net up, there were 153 fish in that net. And I was praying tonight there'd be 153 decisions. And I rejoice that God answered my prayer." Oh, look, we could go on and tell more things to you young people. I'm saying this for one reason. You are stepping out. Some of you are financially bound. But there's no bound to God's wealth. Every need of your life. If you're looking for a husband, a wife. If you've got a spiritual need. If you need a job. Look, I'm telling you something. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray and dismiss you, you know, young people, as you serve the Lord, you're going to see that God is going to bless and meet every need of your life. You just got to trust Him. And now is the ideal time to do that. You see, Brother Jerry, I want you to pray because God has deeply stirred my life. I have some real needs in my life. I really would like to have you pray for God to help me to take this passage, James chapter 4 and verse 6. And Lord, I'll apply it to my life and let the Lord know I want to see Him do things in my life that one day I can share the blessings and encourage others. Would you please include me in that prayer? Would you raise your hand to your Lord at this time? Okay, God bless you. Oh, dear Father, thank you for the authority of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you do know our heart needs and you know every need of our lives. Father, encourage these young men and these young ladies and these adults as well. And may Christ be honored through this service. Have your hand upon this school, Father. Send the students here that you want here at Ambassador and protect these young people as they get home pretty soon. And I pray, God, that you'd use them greatly in the service of Christ. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.